Today's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real is sponsored by, and this is true, Gucci Mane.
Gucci Mane?
Gucci Mane, guys. It's 10/17, and of course, Gucci Mane, whose new album, Mr. Davis, is out right now, has sponsored A Waste of Time with It's the Real. I love this album. I listened to it all weekend. This is not even for the plug. This is the truth. I love the song Members Only. I love the song with Monica. There's so many features on there, including The Weeknd and ASAP Rocky and Schoolboy Q and Big Sean and Ty Dolla $ign and Chris Brown and Nicki Minaj. It's a fantastic listen. It's the best Gucci album, certainly since he's gotten out of jail. I'm thrilled for Gucci overall, and not just because his music is killing it right now.
But also because he's getting married?
Because he's getting married today. It's going to be on BET, by the way, guys, so you should go watch that live. Shout out to Gucci. Shout out to everybody who's been working with him from the 10/17 team and from the Atlantic Records team. Shout out to Gucci. Congratulations to Gucci. Happy 10/17 to everyone. And now to the podcast. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. You know what I don't want to talk about?
What is that?
I don't want to talk about the Rockefeller video that is up right now at youtube.com/itsthereal.
Wait, you don't want to talk about it?
I don't want to talk at all about the Rockefeller video that is up at youtube.com/itsthereal right now.
All right, well, let's just move on from the Rockefeller video that's on youtube.com/itsthereal right now. I'm okay not talking about the video.
I don't want to talk about the video of our trip to London where we interviewed DJ Semtex, which is also up at youtube.com/itsthereal. I don't want to talk about it.
All right, people need to stop asking us about these videos so that we can just move on. Because they're both on.
You know what I do want to talk about?
Global warming?
Well, you know what? I do. I do want to talk about global warming. But I also want to talk about our upcoming show in Los Angeles on November 2nd. This is our first West Coast show. And we're not opening up for anybody. We're not doing a spot date at some comedy club. We are headlining the Bootleg Theater on November 2nd in Los Angeles, California. And if you've supported us at any point during our career, if you've come to see us live, it's such an amazing experience. You can ask all the people who came to our show in London. You can talk to the people who were at SOBs here in New York. And you can see the reaction that people had when they came to Highline Ballroom. You could see it for yourself at youtube.com/itsthereal. But being there is such a different experience. It's different for us when we're on stage and we feel that energy from the crowd. It's different for the people who normally listen to this podcast to see us and how we interact and the back and forth that we have on stage. It's different for the people who come to our shows to network with other folks in the business. It's just different. But what we're most excited about is the type of show that we're putting on that has elements of our whole career there. You've never experienced anything like this, and you don't want to miss it. So, if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, now is the time. If you haven't told any of your friends about this show, now is the time. We all know someone who lives in Los Angeles. We all know how boring it can get staying at home on a Thursday night watching shitty TV. We're giving you an out. We're giving you a way to enjoy yourself for once this week. So get your tickets at itsthereal.com right now. Let's do the impossible and keep this sellout streak going. SOBs, Highline Ballroom, Hoxton Square Bar and Kitchen, Bootleg Theater, Los Angeles, California, November 2nd. Go to itsthereal.com right now. Jeff, who's on the podcast today?
Today on the podcast, we have Big Face Gary. And a lot of people might not know who Big Face Gary is, but he is an integral part of what Rockefeller Records was. He was an A&R for State Property. He was there when Jay was first brought into the crew by Dame. He was there when Rockefeller Records broke up, and he was there for a lot of the middle parts.
This is a side of the story that you don't necessarily hear all the time. or C, if you want to watch our Highline Ballroom live Rockefeller podcast in full at youtube.com/itsthereal. But Gary is somebody who was a foot soldier. He was somebody who gave his all to this record label and was really heartbroken at the loss in a way that maybe other people weren't.
Right. Well, these were his friends, right? So he was hanging out on the block on the Upper West Side, actually like a couple blocks from here. And he was hanging out with Biggs. He was hanging out with Dame. He was hanging out with Jay. These were his friends. It just so happened that everybody became multimillionaires.
So Gary's got an amazing story. He's somebody that we grew up just hearing on mixtapes and shouted out on the radio. And we thought his story was amazing from that aspect. This is somebody who, you know, we love these behind the scenes stories. But to hear his life story in full, to find this man after 12 years out of the music business. And we do want to shout out our guy Breezy on the Beat for making that connection in the first place.
Right. Well, the way that that happened was Breezy on the Beat was listening to our podcast. He said he listened to 125 episodes at that point, all 125. And he heard us mention Big Face Gary 125 or so times. And so he tracked him down. And it turns out that he had a mutual friend in common with Big Face Gary. And somehow through Allah or Adonai or whatever people will call their sovereign God, it turns out that Big Face Gary lives two blocks from us. And so he came over in the hopes of maybe we would get him on the live podcast at a Highline Ballroom. We all agreed that maybe it wasn't the right time to do that, but that we would like to do a solo podcast down the road. And it's great that now we are able to do that. Today, here for you, we have the Big Face Gary story.
And I think it's important in the grand scheme of things for Gary to tell his story, to share his point of view, and for it to remain a part of Rockefeller history. So with that in mind, Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
As soon as people tell their friends in LA to come to our show, November 2nd at the Bootleg Theater, itsthereal.com.
Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Hood Rich, a.k.a. Junkyard.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Bar Mitzvah Boy, a.k.a. Get Lifted.
What's up, yo? Big Face Gary, man. I took a big break. I'm back. I'm back.
Yeah, this is a waste of time with It's The Real.
Gary, what's happening?
I'm just chilling, man. You know, I just took a big hiatus. That Rockefeller hit me hard, man. Those was my brothers. I still love them. I was devastated when Rockefeller folded, man.
Well,
I had to take a major break, man.
So you are something of a cult hero. I got to be really honest. Like, you're somebody who we've heard your name on records. We've heard you on mixtape shoutouts. You are a figure that, like you said, has been gone for a while. And we've talked about you
on about 90% of our podcasts.
Thank you, man.
But the fact that you live so close to us,
yes,
that you are now willing to stop by here. You were here a couple months ago, and we had a great conversation.
Shout out to Upper West Side, man.
That you are here now is a real pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You're born and bred from the Upper West Side.
My whole life.
Wow.
Since I was 6 years old, I was in Brooklyn. My mom took us out of there, and then we went to the projects for a year. She said, we're not going to do this, and she got me on 94th and Amsterdam, said, we're going to be here.
Tell us what growing up on 94th and Amsterdam is like.
Well, it was crazy because I'm Haitian. So, you know, back in the days, Haitians, you know, they're not used to nothing. We're used to stuff, and my mom migrated from Haiti, and she took me, my father and my mother got married, of course, and my dad died at 4 years old when I was four on Christmas Day.
Oh my God.
And my mom was devastated, and then one day my uncle told her, listen, you got to get out the bed. You have three kids who need you. And my mom got out the bed. I was four, my sister was eight, and my brother was six. And my mom got out the bed, and she started working. She cleaned toilets. She did what she had to do.
Your mother's Haitian.
Yes, she is.
And does that mean that she's tough on you growing up?
Well, I mean, my mom was by herself, you know.
Yeah.
My mom was very tough, man. Y'all got me thinking about that lady. Yeah. That lady was tough, man. I was always bigger. My mom's like 5'3". 5'4", and I used to thought I was getting away. I used to talk to her crazy some days. I would love to. I thought I got away with hitting me in the head with a stick when I'm sleeping in the bed at night.
Where was she getting a stick from?
She would just go to the bathroom. I don't know.
It wasn't like Central Park or Riverside. No.
Yeah, my mom was tough, man. Rest in peace, man. That was my baby. She taught me everything I know, but she was tough, man. I'm the youngest. I have a brother, Gene. He's the middle, and I have a sister who lives in Florida, Tallahassee.
You're the youngest?
Yes, I'm 47. My sister's 51. And my brother's 49.
Wow. By the way, Gene, such a Haitian name.
Yes, Gene.
Jean.
Bien-Aimé.
Were there a lot of other Haitians around?
Well, it's a Haitian community, big time. Julio, my cousin Dominique, all my friends, a bunch of Haitians. We dominate this neighborhood a lot.
Yeah.
It was funny because Americans would laugh at us, then they started loving us. We could play ball. We were focused. We work hard.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, it is crazy. We've talked to friends about, like, there was a point when it became cool to be Haitian.
Yeah, but at first, I'm not naming no names. I'm not going to blow you all up. You know who you are. They were ashamed to say they were Haitian.
Oh, for sure.
I was never ashamed.
Right.
I have to tell I was Haitian all the time. Then when I made sure it was cool to be Haitian, everybody want to talk about they Haitian.
Yeah.
Haitians don't believe in wearing the same. Like, I would wear my jeans maybe 2 days in a row, and then they would fuck with me, and then I couldn't take it no more. They call you Frenchie. Then I said, you know, I can't take this shit no more. I started watching a lot of TV. And I started, I don't know if y'all called it, we called it playing the dozens. You know, I joked with a lot of people. I was 185, almost 6 feet at 15 years old.
Oh my God.
Yes, I was always a big dude. You know?
Well, were you playing sports?
Yeah, I played football in Hayes my first year. We took it as freshmen. Then I played ball. I was like a power forward, but my height caught up to me and I came to realization it ain't going to happen.
Okay, so by the time you're at Cardinal Hayes, you have a job at that point?
Yeah, I'm riding a bike as a messenger. I get off of school at 2:30, run the miles, get my bike at 4 o'clock. I ride a bike till 7.
Delivering what?
Delivering anything. Then I started working at a store called Video Vault on 87th and Broadway. We was delivering videotapes.
Really?
$130 a week at 14. It was like $2 million.
And yeah. What is the Upper West Side like at this point?
Right now?
No, like...
Oh, no, when I grew up, that's what I'm trying to tell everybody. I hate this Upper West Side. You're the man. I used to live here when it was crack-infested, coke, dope, and prostitution. Then Giuliani came into town and fixed this shit. Y'all got lucky, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't have a chance around here when I was growing up.
Y'all got robbed
a long time ago. No disrespect.
Right. Yeah.
It was like ridiculous out here.
Above where? Like, where did it start?
From 91st, literally, to like 95th, from where I'm from. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Thank God we're north of there.
No, crack, cocaine, Colombians, everything, prostitution you could think of. It was ridiculous over here. Crack, everything. Bad. It was bad out here, man.
When do you become Big Face Gary?
Oh, man, rest in peace. You know Biggs, one of the owners of Rockefeller Records?
Sure.
Yeah.
I could be straight up on the show, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to be who I am.
Yeah.
I'm on 119th Street. My friend Darryl McMillan used to be out there in the streets with my man, and I used to come hang out with him. And his name was Bob Alab.
Yeah.
I didn't know him. Bob Alab, Biggs' brother, got killed in
03. Yeah, right. Yeah.
He said, yo, you got a big face. Your name Big Face. I swear, that's how I began. And then he just liked me, and he clung to me. And then that name never left me. 1991, I became Big Face Gary.
Did anybody else have nicknames within the crew besides like Biggs and you?
Well, Biggs, Real Mac. They got Street, our friend named Street. He was with us. Bob Alab, Real Mac. Everybody had mostly regular names, man.
Yeah.
I just, like I said, my man Boss, you got a big face. Your name Big Face. I said, just like that. I'm telling you, it wasn't no big story. He just looked at you. You got a big face. Your name Big Face. And it stuck to me.
It's so good, though.
It's so
everybody
good.
Loves that.
It's like a cartoon character.
That says
like,
legendary.
Yeah,
you know? I looked at it like I didn't care. Then it stuck. The only rule I had was if you grew up with me, you couldn't call me Big Face.
Yeah. So like did anyone call your house like looking for you and they say, where's Big Face?
Yeah, my mom. Oh, you know, my mom was like, you don't have a big face. Why they call you Big Face? My mom don't know nothing. This old lady. Like, I said, Mom, just because I remember we had, I was on TV for, Hot Hustler?
Yeah, the Ultimate Hustler.
Ultimate Hustler.
Yeah.
My mom's like, everybody calling her, my Haitian friends, my mother's family, my cousins. Yeah, Gary's on TV, Gary. She looked, she said, why are they calling my son Big Face? He don't have a big face. He's getting insulted. Like, I said, Mom, it's just a joke. It's nothing. She was mad.
Did they like you because you could give it right back to them?
Well, we joked a lot.
Yeah.
There was some nights, I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody have their nights. There'll be a night that I'm killing. It'll be one night. You're getting destroyed. You can't even get out of it. We used to call you Crunchy. You Crunchy. Your face is red. You like, you can't do. You just gotta sit there and just be drunk and just get demolished. And just deal with the pain. No, you don't know that. When you get killed, it's pain.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't even get out of it. You know what I mean?
So who gave it back to you like the worst? Who was like the
I hate to admit it. The legendaries. I got two legends.
Okay.
Sean Arnold. He's from uptown.
Mm-hmm.
He's cool.
Yeah.
Biggs is ridiculous.
Yeah.
he's nonstop.
Would anyone like diss Biggs?
You know, oh, no, Big. Oh, it's fair shake.
Yeah.
No, we ain't get Biggs had some days he got killed, but he killed more than he got killed. And one thing about Biggs, he had money. He had more money than all of us.
Right.
We have a rule: you never bring him your money. You're not better than nobody. Well, even Steven. You know Dive Bar right here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Biggs was so drunk when we used to drink Boilermakers. Yo, Biggs, we used to, the Dive Bar guy was, his name is Lee. He was sort of, our tab used to be like 2,200.
Jesus.
We used to be drinking from like 4 in the afternoon to like 1 in the morning.
It's a dive bar.
Yeah, he said, Gary, are you guys going to pay this bill? I said, yeah, Lee, yeah. We pay. Yo, what's up? One day Biggs was so drunk, he fell in the garbage. Right?
Yeah.
Pissy drunk.
Yeah.
Emery, you know Jay-Z's
friend? Yeah.
Oh, sure, Emery's friend?
Yeah.
He couldn't stop laughing. He was like, oh my God. So Biggs got up. He regrouped. I said, Biggs, you're right. Yeah. I will give it to him. He was drunk. He drove all his friends home, drunk as shit.
Oh my God.
He got in the steering wheel. He had an Acura Legend.
Yeah.
He drove all his friends
home. The Acura Legend.
The two door. Yeah. Back in the day, you had that. You were God.
Right. Yeah.
He drove all his friends home in a two door?
Two door. And Biggs was funny with cars. Like, he'd have the $80,000 car act like it was a hoopty. He never cared about it. That's why Biggs never cared about none of that shit. He was good with that.
So you started hanging around them.
I've been hanging out with them since 91.
So what is that period like? You're just hanging out?
We're hanging out. Whatever we're doing during the day is our personal business.
Yeah, yeah.
But about 8 o'clock at night, we meet in front of the goat park.
Yeah.
And we get hammered.
Yeah.
From 8 to 1. Everybody get joked on. We talking shit. We joking. Then in 95, I see this skinny dude pull up with a white GS300. I said, who the fuck is he? Dame said, that's the next dude. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I said, okay. I laughed at him. I ain't gonna lie to you. I said, get the fuck out of here. Jay, don't get mad at me. You ain't seen me in years. He dressed like a Brooklyn dude that day. He had a lot of money, though.
Yeah. What was he wearing?
Durango boots. Looking crazy. Don't get me, Jay. Again, you might get mad. You're filthy. You got a beautiful wife. But that day, it wasn't it. He had a bunch of money on him, though. He just looked a mess. But had a beautiful car. He had a $60,000 car. Back then, it was ridiculous. And we're like, who's this dude? Dame said this dude is it.
So when he says that he's it, what is that? Like, do you know that he's a rapper? Do you know that
he says he's it. I said, what are you talking about? He says a rapper. I said, rapper? Come on. This is when Snoop Dogg's the man.
Yeah.
Nasty Nas. So I was a fanatic.
Yeah.
You can tell me nothing about Nasty Nas. But I was like my man.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear nothing. Curious George was my man.
Yeah.
But I respect George. That was my boy, but Nasty Nas to me, he was saying shit that didn't make no sense to me at that age level for me, because I was in the streets doing crazy shit, and everything he was saying was making sense to me.
Yeah.
Then this skinny motherfucker here, I'm joking him. You know, Brooklyn guys don't really joke like that. They
right.
Play the dozens like that. They're real serious. They need to carry their guns and protect themselves. They don't know nothing. Brooklyn guys don't buy drugs. They don't buy clothes. They go buy guns.
Yeah.
Because they have to protect themselves.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That skinny motherfucker spit something. He spit a rhyme in my ear. I said, say that shit again. But he was rapping real fast. Then he slowed it down. I said, phew. I still didn't believe it. I'm not going to lie to you.
You weren't thinking you were going to be in
the
music business, part of
music business? I'm not caring about none of that shit. I got my own money. We all got our own money.
Yeah.
We all chipping for bills. We all dress, go buy clothes. We party at night.
Right.
And we do it over the next day.
And all you know is just that he can spit fire.
He can spit fire. That's what they're saying. Jay-Z can rap.
Yeah.
And I say, yeah, all right. I hit him a little bit. Biggs is like, no, Biggs isn't involved in it. I'll make you laugh.
Yeah.
It was just Dame talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Biggs didn't even want no parts of that shit.
So you know all Best Out.
I know. Those are my friends.
Yeah.
Rel Mac.
Yep.
There's so many of them. Rel Mac, Biggs, Babala, rest in peace. There was a bunch of them. They used to battle with this crew called Same Gang. Who threw the better party like that.
But you were on the side of Best Out.
Of course.
That's my friend. Yeah.
Wait, so while we're on the subject of that, talk about the Best Out parties. Like going up to like Cotton Club.
Man, that was it. How you know about that?
Yeah. You guys would go to the east side, right?
Yeah, like, hang out, chill.
Picnic baskets full of
Moet as tall as you. That's when they brought Biggs in. Like Rockefeller was kind of, I'm not gonna lie, they was pushing it, but they needed some more oomph.
And
Biggs had the oomph.
Yeah.
Jay had the oomph too, but Biggs had the oomph.
So those parties were just legendary.
I'm walking into the parties. You know, you feel like a king because the line is from here down to 103rd Street. Yo, that's Big Face. I ain't waiting on no line.
Yeah.
Yo, we had Moet bottles as tall as you. How tall are you, like 6'4"?
Yeah. Somewhere like that, yeah.
Yo, we like, I'm sitting there with Biggs. And these times, Biggs ain't asking us for no money. Like, we used to go out to bars and do whatever. But I'm talking about this time in the line, I don't know what Biggs and Jay and them was doing. All I know is When we didn't and went in there, it was no problem. We had all the one around us. We didn't have a record sold yet, not a record. But they loved what we were, the audience. We all had cars. We all played the part, and they never seen nothing like
it. Talk about going to the tunnel.
Oh, that's another level. Man, you're going crazy. Tunnel had, what's them bathrooms called?
Unisex. Yeah, they call it bathrooms, yeah.
Motherfuckers in there fucking and sucking and acting crazy. I'm there just, yo, the line used to be ridiculous. But that back then, Rockefeller wasn't nobody. So what we used to do is, I used to go to the front. That's why, what you want? What's your price? He said 100. Hand him 100. I walk right in. Me and my cousin Julio. Yo, when I say we used to dance from like 10 to like 4 nonstop, Mob Deep, we drinking champagne. I'm drinking champagne over there. Who are you? I said, I'm regular. He said, I'm Mob Deep. I'm Prodigy, man. I said, oh, all right. You Prodigy? Fuck you. I mean, whatever. Then, yo, it was great. Yo, we used to party like rock stars. And Tunnel was the great days.
Man. Latin Quarter.
Latin Quarters, the one on 96 and Broadway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another party. I live up the block, so yeah. I used to get there. Yo, another place. We partied. Biggs would be there. Dame J. We used to party like rock stars, mm-hmm. man. It's like when the real party, now you go to party, no one even dances no more. Mm-mm. Everybody's standing around, yeah. So I don't go out no more.
At what point do they start taking the music stuff serious?
Jay started making us believe in them. Us. Fuck, Dame should say it. If we don't like it, we can't do this.
So it's, who's us? You?
Dame, Biggs, Jay-Z, Rel Mac, Sean Arnold, Street, my friends from my neighbor, Craig, Kirk. Anybody they seen, they gave Jay-Z the CD. That was Ain't No Nigga Like mm-hmm. The One. Like, that was the first single Jay. They didn't even put it out. Everybody was laughing. We just kept giving it to everybody in the hood. Then he did. I'm going to tell you the record that made me understand Jay was ready. This is my. I told him that. This is my fit. Could not believe he said the shit he said on that record. Can I Live?
Yeah.
We was in the studio with this guy named Tone Hooker.
Who came up with Rockefeller.
Came Rockefeller. Yeah. You know the verse when Jay-Z says, we don't lease our cars, we buy them as usual. My Confederate does explode. That was Tony's verse. But he was too drunk. Dame got pissed off. Said, you fucking drunk. You embarrassing me, man. Get the fuck off the mic. Jay don't write. Jay wrote something on the pad. I looked at that shit. I don't even know what that shit was. It was like Chinese letters. That's the first time I've seen Jay rap. And then I heard the rhyme. I said, yo, Jay, you really not fucking around, right? Yo, Jay, I keep telling you, man. When I get in this game, they're going to have a problem. And that's what, I don't know if you remember. You're younger. You remember Jack the Rap?
Yeah.
Went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You had business about that, what we did out there?
Yeah.
Hired this driver named Elvis. We put Rockefeller plates on a limousine. Like, it was the man. And we was nobody.
So oh, my God.
We all chipped in about jackets with the Moet bottle. Shit,
yeah.
Jay-Z flipping tables over.
Before you get locked up.
Yeah.
You're traveling around with them? You're going to...
Oh, we're going. We're doing anything. We're just chipping in, going to Atlanta. We're hanging out, going to clubs. We're flipping tables over. Every night, we're drinking 10 grand worth of champagne, letting the city know this is who we are, we here.
And so this is you, Jay...
Jay, a lot more people.
Dame Biggs.
Emery, a bunch of our other friends. Bleak. Shout out to M. Bleak, his crew from Brooklyn. Jay had we had everybody around us, man.
You guys travel like in caravans?
Everywhere. Vans drove to city to city. We didn't give a fuck until the shit got done. We all had our own money. We all chipped in and we all had fun.
What did the South think of you guys? Well, what did you guys think of the South?
But at that point, the South was corny. They didn't have what they had now. They're going to fuck with us. It was too official. Everything we said was real, and we proved it.
Yeah.
Jay didn't have a record deal. He said, Gary, why are these rappers waving cabs down? And I have a $60,000 vehicle, and I don't have a record deal. Mm. Paid for. Biggs had a Range Rover Legend. Dame had a GS. Everybody had cars. Mm. Had a NBA, everybody had cars. We didn't have a record deal signed yet.
Man.
I had a little bullshit MPV. All our friends had cars. Rel Mac, everybody. It was just nothing to us. We didn't care. We just was having fun. Then it came to reality when Jay, I told you, Steve Rifkin ain't signed him.
Okay, so talk to us about that.
I know. I got Dame called a meeting. The whole crew, this everybody. He said, we tired of this shit. They won't sign us. Biggs, we made a decision. That's when they bought Biggs. We had an office on John Street.
Yeah.
And they put their money up and they opened up their own label.
Steve Rifkin said exactly what?
He's not our type of rapper.
Not our type of rapper.
I said, what a fucking joke.
They needed someone crazier from Staten Island.
Yeah, a bunch of guys. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to rest in peace. Prodigy is a problem. Mm. He's going to fuck with Jay, though. Because Jay was talking the shit I know people want to hear.
Yeah.
I was there for everything.
Were you there for the battle against DMX?
You know what's so funny? I just fucking missed that. I was super drunk the night before. And I couldn't wake up. Then they all called me and said, yo, but they said it's a tie. So everybody was so angry. Everybody had gun. Everybody was nasty.
Yeah.
But they said it was a tie.
Yeah.
They said it was a tie.
Big said that Jay went against LL.
Yes.
Were you there?
Yeah. That one, yeah, he destroyed LL. Uh-huh. He didn't want to pay him, but Jay said, you're going to pay me my money.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, embarrassing. He destroyed LL. LL is a ladies' man.
Yeah.
Jay is a street corner thug with that shit, and he couldn't handle Jay. Jay demolished him.
Oh.
He didn't even know what to say to Jay.
Did LL bring his guys with him?
Like, yeah, a couple guys, but he just couldn't handle them. It was too much for him. Jay was ridiculous. You can't. I'm looking at him like, you don't even know. You're a pretty boy. Jay's going to dig in your soul. That's why DMX battle was great, because DMX is a street dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at one point, oh, you know, DMX was selling more records than Jay-Z at one point.
Yeah, sure.
Then Jay just, of course, overlapped.
When did you first meet DJ Irv?
Or Irv Gotti. He did the record, Can I Live?
Yeah.
That's when he produced that record.
That's when you met him.
First time I met him in my life. I came to the studio. Jay said, I got this shit here, and he said this kid Irv produced it, and I heard. I said, this rhythm is crazy, and then I was like, wow. And I met him. I ain't rap with him too much, you know. One thing about us, we're not groupies.
Yeah.
I don't know you like that. Fuck you.
Right.
You with Jay, I'm sitting minding my business.
Yeah.
And I just listen to the music. You know what I mean?
You remember our brother Dan?
Hey, what's up, man? Yep. Primo's a good friend of mine, so I loved him.
Yeah?
He was real good to me. Yeah, because he's a good guy. Make great beats, and he loved hip-hop. And I used to give Jay hell. Yo, you ain't better than Nas. You got a long way to go.
You would tell him that?
I tell him to his fucking face. You can't fuck with Nas.
What did he say?
He was like, he was madder, because he knew he felt he was better than him. I said, look what the city's saying, Jay. You not there. He's a pretty boy. He could dress. Yo, G, I'm going to get him. And Jay wanted him on the record, and Nas told him no. I knew that was Nas' biggest mistake. Because I know how JJ's competitive. And we was making fun of him. We joking him, snapping him. Nas want to do a record with you. Jay said, oh, really? And he worked hard. And again, when Nas... And remember, Nas... No, that was way before that. When Nas did that, Jay said, watch. Jay just started spitting harder and harder and harder. I said, it's over. Then I finally had to give him a handshake. You better than Nas. Nas' biggest issue, can't pick beats.
To this day. Yeah. At what point do you become officially part of Rockefeller?
Working for the label?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a crazy story. I'm coming out of jail in 1999, and I'm hanging out with them every fucking night, drunk as shit, and I'm on parole. I have to work at a shelter delivering food to shelters and making $250 a week.
And so it's a step up from the other delivery
job. Oh, man, this shit was terrible, man. But I didn't care. I was happy to be home, man. And then I used to drink a $5 pint of Bacardi. I even asked them, too. I never asked them guys for nothing. Only thing, when I came home, Dame said I looked a mess. You know, he's an asshole. He gave me a bunch of Rockaware so I could dress and look nice.
Yeah.
And we used to hang out. And me, him, and Biggs. Biggs used to tell me he's a good guy. Dame knew me. He said he's a good guy. So we just drink every night. So one day, Dame and Biggs called me. Yo, man, what you make a week? I said, $250. Dame almost threw up on the phone. He said, $250? He said, listen, quit that shit. I'm going to pay you $30,000 a year just to hang out with me.
Whoa.
And that was way more than I was making at that point.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And then you're going to learn the game, and you'll fit in where you get in where you fit in. And I used to be with them every day, and we were in the office one day, and something went wrong. Biggs fired A&R, pissed them off. And something went wrong with a freeway situation, and I fixed the problem within an hour. That's what Dame called me, Luca Brasi from The Godfather.
Yeah.
He handles all business. And then from there on, Dame would tell you, I just kept working hard. Dame, the only thing I will say, Biggs helped me a little bit with my, well, I know how to air on certain things, but Biggs was like, and I just kept working. Next thing I know, State Property became my friends. And I took it from there. Chris, Nate, Can't Stop, Won't Stop, Wayno.
Yeah.
Dave Eastman.
Yeah, yeah, no, sure.
My young boys, man.
So just a real quick thing about Wayno is that we asked young Chris the Young Guns about that, and he said he had one great big, or he has a whole bunch of Big Face Gary stories, but he said.
One time in the quad, I forget what happened, but he used to, Wayno used to run around with him. That was this little man, you know, whatever, like, not this little man, but, you know, he used to run around with him or whatever, and, but Wayno used to be in Philly a lot with us. So one time he came up to, we came up the choir, we was deep or whatever. And something happened to the point where I think Wayno said something to Big Face, something disrespectful, but it was something like Philly slang. And Big Face stood up, it was the phone and everything right there. He kicked the phone like, you not from fucking Philly! He like went crazy on his nigga. Yo, we was dying, man. Face was the truth.
I said, you not for fucking Philly. You not for fucking Philly. Y'all can take it. I said, yeah. He stopped that shit after that. Oh, he pissed me off. Yo, I remember that shit. Oh, man, y'all got me. I was mad. And those were days when I used to drink all night. Yo, when you're dealing with Rockefeller, man, you understand, Dame was... I'm sorry that he was hard to work for, because he was my friend before that. And then once I started working for him, he just started getting crazy. And I said, yo, why you talk? You didn't have to talk to me like that, because I was a hard worker. Dame would they could say anything you want about me. I was a hard worker. Quick story, one night when Nas destroyed Jay's universe, Jay, I'm sorry, it was jokes, but he got you to the people. But it's okay, Jay. He can't fuck with you. And I told you that night. But the day Nas came out that record, when he killed Jay, Jay took a hiatus that summer. He went down. He went to, I think, Saint-Tropez. I don't remember exactly where. He went away for the whole summer. And he came back with this record. Hey, you know the record, H-O-V, I got my mojo back, baby, O-B, hey. Mm-hmm. He told Nas, I got a million. Jay bought a Phantom, and he bought another car the same day. And he told Nas, I give you, I don't know if you remember, but he said, well, you do 16, I do 16.
Yeah.
I put $1 million.
But Nas didn't have the money.
Nas said he didn't have the money.
Right.
He said, I can't afford that.
Yeah.
Jay said, okay. So then Jay said, shut the fuck up. Then Jay would hear shit. But then, what I'm trying to say is then I remember Jay came home, and Jay did a free show for Speed, because he was trying to let people know he don't want to dime.
The club.
The club,
yeah,
Speed.
Yeah,
he did a show for Speed for free, and Jay told me he wanted me there. I was a big guy. He said, you're not my security, but I need you with me. He had his Yankee hat. People have a habit of taking his Yankee hat. And he said, don't let nobody take my Yankee hat, and don't nobody take my chain. Jay has security. We went through that night. We had a great night. But he texted me. We had two ways in. I'll never forget this. And Jay remembers one thing. I don't think he's a lie. He said, you're great for the game. The game needs you. My good relationships really, well, like I said, I was all... I'm going to tell you my favorite guy, you just named them, two rappers I talk about who are my friends. Everybody else fucked them in the rap game as a rapper. It's not told you, Jay, that's my family, Nori and Bun B. Nori said, you're my friend. And Bun B told me the same thing, because they were my friends. All these other rappers are full of shit. I'm not trying to say they're full of shit. It's just that they were my friends.
Right. Like, it was a different relationship, but how did you meet Bun? Was that through the Bun, Big Pimpin'?
Y'all got to help me a little bit. I'm not Big Pimpin'. I didn't do that record. He did a record with Beanie Siegel on The Becoming. Purple Rain.
Purple Rain.
Yeah. And I got him down here. You know, that was my job. I ain't on that album. Best album I think Beans ever had. Everybody agreed. If he didn't have legal troubles, he would have sold 3 million easy. I called him. I said, yo, my name is Big Face. I need you to do a record for me. And this might be, I said, how much do you want? I don't want no money. He says, pay for my flight in my room, and I'm coming.
Amazing.
And that's what he didn't want a dime.
He's still the best person.
He's still the same way?
Still the same way.
He didn't want no money. He just paid for his flight in his room. He's good.
When did State Property enter your life?
Oh, that's when I told you I got hot. Well, I just started working with them. I met Beanie Siegel one day on my own. I wasn't even working for them yet, but he remembered me. One of my friends, Yanka, shout out to Yanka, said Cameron was better than him.
Wait, hold on. Can you just
hold on? Yeah, sorry. I'm locked in. He said Cameron was better than him. And Beanie Seeker said, Cameron better than who? He said, he better than you. One of my regular friends. We in the studio. Beanie played so many records, man. My man after that said, all right. He bowed down and said, yo, you got it. So then Dame hired me. I'm working every day. I'm trying to work. I'm looking at what's going on. I said, yo, Jay's the man. Beanie Seeker's established, but they got young Chris, who I love. To this day, Chris, I'm sorry you're not who you should be, man. You should be filthy rich, but a lot of shit was going on, man. You deserve more than that, man. Because this kid was spitting out rhymes that didn't make no sense at like 17, man, 18. Like, and it's crazy. So I said, yo, let me work with this kid. I worked with him every day. We just kept going to the studio. He knew how to rap. Know how to rap. And I give Damon a shout out to this. He's arrogant, but we come to the studio one day. I said, come to the studio, man. I need you, man. He said, for what, man? Come the fuck over here, man. He was talking shit. He come in there. He heard Can't Stop, Won't Stop. It's a hit record. He called whoever the radio, his brother, and put that shit out. It was over.
So from the Philly guys, you have...
I worked with Young Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Beanie Siegel. Oskin. I worked with the whole State Property crew.
What was your relationship with Freeway like?
We were cool. He dealt with hip hop a lot, but he dealt with me a lot because I got it done, and anything he needed, I was there for him. He's a good guy too, man. Free was my man. I love Freeway. But I really worked hands-on with Young Chris Anif and Beanie Siegel.
How about for the Chain Gang too?
I did Chain Gang too. That's my whole project.
Yeah.
I did a whole mix. I did all Rockefeller mixtapes. All of them. Not one, not two. Everyone is me.
Yeah.
I also did State Property too. That's my whole album. Found the producers. We worked together. Well, I didn't have to find a lot because well, nothing about Chris. He had an ear. We found records. I mixed it. I did everything that I had to do. Took it to the studio. Worked with the engineers. That's my project. State Property 2. I'm claiming Beanie Siegel. Feel it. The Becoming. Can't Stop, Won't Stop. I worked on Freeway. The ending of his album. Oskino Sparks. One group I hurt me too. Petey should have been big. Pete, I don't mean to hurt you, but if he would have put down them Narcotics, he would have been out of here.
And your relationship with all the producers?
Oh, that was as natural. Bula was my man. I met Bula through somebody, and I loved him. They all got mad at me because they said, Just Blaze, Just Blaze, Just Blaze. I'm not saying Just Blaze wasn't a problem, but you got to understand, if Jay-Z is co-signing all your beats, other people are going to want your beats. That don't mean Bula's not just as good as you. It's right timing, man. It's timing. Bula had a lot. Come on, Bula did one of Neo's best records. Ain't no telling. We did that. Blaze was too. He was a house producer. Hip hop managed him. So whatever he did, they just grabbed. So that's why I felt I had Bula. But Bula did a lot of Beanie projects, Beanie Siegel's records. He did Nicole Ray, who should have went out of here. If I Was Your Girlfriend,
dude. Yeah.
That was a big record.
Chad West.
Great guy. Oh man, hell of a producer. He doesn't even produce no more, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think he does food now.
Is that right?
I don't think he produces anymore.
Oh, I know that, but I didn't know what he did.
He does. He does a lot of food now. He's like a caterer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great producer.
There was a time when all of State Property was basically living together up here.
Yes.
With Emmanuel.
Rough times. You know how it is to babysit people who got more money than you.
I don't know what that's like.
That's just a nasty feeling, man. I go Timberland. Yo, I did everything I could do, man, for them dudes, man. You know, I mean, I wasn't perfect. I made some mistakes sometimes. But at the same time, my effort was 90%, man, you know?
So what were your days like with them all living together?
Rough days. I mean, I lived here. So I was up here. I had a couple of apartments uptown, but I lived here. And I used to just, Chris would call me, I need this, I need that. And then, you know, let me tell you the worst part when a rapper is when you're trying to get him to do a verse, man. And you need the verse done on a deadline. Your Beanie Siegel used to drive me crazy.
Well, so we understand.
Great rapper, but oh my god.
So we understand Beanie would you know call up to Baseline and say, "Yo, I'm getting out of the club. I'm getting out of jail. I'm getting out of whatever
he was doing."
And it's already like you know midnight. And
you're like, "Where are you coming in?" And he comes in 6:30 in the morning. But he was weird though. You would be like mad, but then he'd come in and he torched the mic.
Right.
Yeah, Beans. I tell you, I used to call Beans. Oh, first of all, Beans was a problem. I used to see him do it. He'd take his phone, throw it in his car, and just throw me, look at that shit for like 8 days. I'm calling him to the point I had to drive to Philly one day. Yo, Miss Michelle, where's your son? He in there. What up, Ben? What up, G Face? I said, yo, Beans, I'm looking for you for nothing. We got a record to do. Oh, man, about nothing, man. Yo, Ben, we got a record to do. Because I'm smart. I put the Pro Tools with me, everything. You know what I did? I went to the studio in Philly.
Yeah. Well, so when we had Green Lantern up here, he said when they did the mixtape, he went down there.
Yeah. Yo, Beans is a handful, man. He used to drive me crazy. Oh, my God. He used to. Yo, he won't pick up his phone. He just didn't. He wasn't into that. He was a street dude, man. He cared about none of that phone shit. None of that shit, yo. Nothing.
What effect did Lean have on Beans?
You know what? I used to never ask no questions. I used to be like, yo, Beans. I used to see him nod, and I say, yo, I'm IG Face. But the funny shit is, he'd rap so much good on that shit, but, like, it was just crazy. I didn't even understand it, mm-hmm. and I still don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that he produced under it very well.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's a very difficult line to sort of like walk, huh?
Yeah, I don't know that line. Yeah. I'm not calling him out. Whatever he did, that was his business.
Yeah.
Philly's another level.
Right.
Of pain out there. One of his friends got killed, and that's the night he did. I think this is the best record ever to me. Feel it in the air.
Oh, I mean.
Yeah.
We was
legendary.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was in the studio that night. I see his friends had black on. They all were sad. And I say, yo, you all right, Beans? He said, nah, G and I, man. I need the mic, man. I got to let this shit out, man.
And he did.
Right there. That, ain't that record big?
It's huge.
Yeah. I was, yeah, that, Heavy D produced that. Heavy D produced that record. Rest in peace, Heavy D. Almost had a heart attack with that record, too, because we couldn't find who produced it. You know you can't put a record out.
Right.
Right.
And luckily, who remember who produced it, because he tried to get the record, and Jay-Z. He said, yo, Heavy D produced that. He said, Gary, I had the beat. I just didn't want it for some reason. I gave it to Beans. Heavy D produced that record.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so Beans, oh, yeah, handful. Great rapper, though, handful.
The Fader put together, like, a preview of the album, The Solution, when it was coming out.
Okay.
And apparently you were in the studio for that, the playback, and there was a record produced by Reefa that was supposed to come out where, this is much later, but when Beanie was talking about the dissolution of The Rock.
Oh, okay. I think I remember that after when Rock broke up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was tight. I didn't hear that record. Someone told me about that record. He was like real upset. That bothered Beans a lot too, man. That Rockefeller breakup hurt a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
We were black people making $400-500 million a year, man.
Well, it
doesn't exist, man.
You know, you see those videos of Jay and Dame toasting each other and you know, it's all family around and you know that they gave what they made to everybody. They gave everyone a cut, like, you know, when they got
But I wasn't there. But yeah, when they sold half their label,
yeah,
they give everybody a nice piece of change.
And it's self-made. Yes, like this is the definition of it.
Yes, yes.
And they looked out for their own. Talk about what it was like to be in that situation.
Well, I remember that situation. I was like, I couldn't believe. I was like, damn, they really did this, you know. So I know a lot of people got issues with Dame, you know, because Dame is a different type of person. I will admit that. I love Dame, you know, but I will admit, though, when I was there, he never turned his back on me. He had some nasty ways with me. He had some real stuff he used to say to me that made me want to fucking fight. But if I needed anything, he would give it to me. Biggs, too. You know, but they sold half their label for a nice piece of change. They gave everybody, I don't remember the numbers. I think it was 10 to 20. It was a nice piece. Everybody got a nice piece of change, man. I think it was, I don't remember. Everybody got, they gave away about $1 million, $2 million, bottom line. Among three of them,
yeah,
which people just don't do,
right?
So I give them that part. You know, Dame is like a good dude. Like I'm gonna say this, I don't want to be phony. Dame is hard to love, but he's very intelligent, and I think if he could do things differently, he would right now. I think he really would.
Yeah,
yeah.
When's the last time you talked to him?
I haven't seen Dame in years, man. I haven't seen Dame since Biggs went to jail, and that was a quick minute. He came late to the party. That was, I haven't seen Dame in a long. I haven't seen Jay in long. I want to see Jay just to say hello. I don't want nothing from him. I'm saying that in front of everybody. I just want to give you a pound, Jay. You know how I am. I'm straightforward. I'll tell you what it is. Never asking for a dime. Ever. He'll tell you ever. He liked me for my personality. You know, Tata, shout out to Beyonce, your family, everybody. I'm just coming back, man. I'm happy. This is my first day back. And we'll see what happens from here, man.
So when you worked with State Property, did you find yourself more a State Property guy than you were involved with Rockefeller?
No, I was definitely more of a State Property guy at that point.
Yeah.
Because Dame and them had a when Reasonable Doubt dropped, they were hungry because they wanted to show the world. Then after the second or third album, they were rich. They were rich. Dame had the greatest 50-50 deal ever put together. Dame knew how to make deals. So State Property, they wanted it to happen, but it's not like it was hungry. But Jay, they were hungry.
So you felt like you had sort of like a piece of that you could see grow. This was project.
This was my project. I made sure it was mine. That's why I was same gang, Chain Gang 2. I did that project. I saw the vision. That's why to this day I'm still hurting that Chris is not a legend.
Hey guys, we just want to take 1 second to interrupt this podcast.
Gucci Mane is interrupting this podcast.
This is sponsored by the one and only Roderick Davis, Gucci Mane.
Gucci Mane the Flair.
It's 10/17, so you know that Gucci had to get involved. He's getting married today, by the way.
Congratulations to both him and Keisha.
Yes. What is it called? It's like main event.
The Waptuals.
The main. Oh, this it's waptacular. It is waptastic.
It's wopulent.
Wopulent. There we go.
Yeah.
Guys, make your day wopulent by listening to Mr. Davis, which features The Weeknd and Ty Dolla $ign and Schoolboy Q and ASAP Rocky and Big Sean and Chris Brown and Nicki Minaj. And one of my favorite songs is We Ride featuring Monica.
I like the Migos song.
The Migos song is dope. I like Members Only. That's my favorite song.
Which
Members
features
Only.
Nobody.
It features Guwap himself. Wopulence in spirit, mind, body, and soul. Shout out to Gucci Mane, Mr. Davis, in stores right now. Shout out to everybody at Atlantic and 1017 Eskimo and Alamo and Brick Squad. And
wait, I just got an email from Matt Raz, who works at Loudspeakers Network.
What did he say?
Which posts our podcast every week.
Shout out to Matt Raz.
And he said, in the event that you wanted some additional Gucci talking points, see below.
Oh.
He said, this is Gucci's 11th studio album and second commercial project this year. He's vowed to drop a mixtape every other day next year. And it has production from Metro, Mike Will, Nav, TM88, Ben Billions, Honorable C-Note, Rico Love, Zaytoven, and more.
Wow.
How many Gucci AKAs can you recall off the top?
Okay, ready? Ready? Yep. I'm gonna think of them. Okay, so Gucci Mane LaFleur, we said already.
Yep.
Goo Wop, we said already.
Yep.
What else? East Atlanta Santa.
Okay, that's three.
Are there more?
Yes. There's one, two... One I wouldn't... There's like three that I wouldn't really say.
Well, let's leave it at that. Mr. Davis, in stores right now. Shout out to Goo Wop.
Like, when have you ever called him the machine?
I've never called him the machine. But shout out to the machine. Gucci.
Yeah.
Burr. And now back to the podcast. What was it about the Philly sound, you think?
Because they got pain. There was 15-year-old kids out there who killed three people already at 15. You go on corners. You see the pain. So they had a lot of pain. Chris had a record called North of Philly. He used to talk about pain. One of his friends got killed, I remember. When a bean... It used to be like every month, beans... Someone in Philly, my man just got killed, G. It was like normal after a while.
Did any of them want to get out?
You know what? I can't answer, I would think, but it seems like in Philly, this guy... I don't even know this guy. He told me if you ain't got a gun in Philly, you ain't right. Like, they were killing people in Philly at that point. Like, it was, yo, Philly at one point had the highest murder rate. These guys were different, man. They had no jobs, man. So it's hard, man. It's hard.
And what was it like when they all went back down there to perform? Would you go with them?
Yeah, I went to a lot of shows. It was cool. You
was
know?
It crazy?
It was ridiculous. But, you know, I knew how to maneuver. And I would get out of my situations, you know. And, you know, and that's the mistake I did make that I'll never, never make again. At that point in my life, I was very comfortable. I used to drink with them, talk shit with them. And when you're drinking and they're looking up to you and you make, not looking up to me, meaning I'm supposed to be the liaisons and make sure they're okay, things happen and people get comfortable. So I know now that I'm turning my life around. I still drink, but when it comes like right here, I came to see y'all, I took a shot just to take the tension off me a little bit,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and that was it. I was going to embarrass Breeze, y'all. I was going, even though when I'm drunk, I'm not, I'm never an asshole. But, you know, I'm 47 now, man.
Right, yeah. 18-year-olds.
Yeah, you got to grow the fuck up.
Different, yeah.
I don't know if you saw the Philly take that day when I was arguing with him in Philly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
I was drunk that day, but I still know what I was talking about. But that right there made me mad because I know if I was way sober, I would handle that differently. I wouldn't have did nothing like that.
But you didn't want to be filmed.
No, I didn't want to be filmed, but they were fucking assholes.
Yeah.
It wouldn't stop. I know me. I'm 47. I don't know. When that happened, I was probably 33, 34. I just know that, like I said in front of you, I like to drink, but I like to drink socially now. When I was just having fun, you don't realize if you're drinking with people who you're supposed to be in charge of, the respect level is going to go down. You got to keep your respect level here. So that's why I don't do those things no more.
Can you talk about your relationship with Dame, how it changed from the beginning of Rockefeller to the end?
Well, me and Dame... Like I told you, we used to hang out and talk shit, snap, joke. We used to have a ball. But, I mean, I don't want to take it the wrong way, but I told you, I don't know how to be phony, so I'm going to be real. When I started working for him, he started getting crazy. But I looked at him, why are you doing that? Because I'm going to work hard for you anyway, because that's what in my blood. Y'all took me out this $250 a week job. I think he was under a lot of pressure, and I think he took it out on me because he knew I could handle it, but I didn't want to be a punching bag. Y'all was stressed the fuck out, yo. Like, the last couple years of Rockefeller, Dame had me stressed out. Like, I would be in my bed with my girlfriend, and he would call for a meeting. I get to the meeting. Ain't no fucking meeting. They're just joking and snapping. I said, yo, who does this 2 in the morning? Because he's the boss. He felt he could do that.
Right.
It was wrong. I'm saying to Dame, I'm sorry. I have no problems with you. You know I never talk bad about you, but that was wrong. And it was bad for me because I didn't like Rockefeller. Nori would tell you, he said, Gary, there's a life after Rockefeller. That's all I bled was Rockefeller. I didn't care about nobody but Rockefeller. I was on parole, taking flights to L.A., hoping my P.O. didn't come, and he never came. God is good.
For Rockefeller.
I was on parole, but then I smartened up and told him. I said, P.O. Cruz, he retired years ago. I'm with Rockefeller. I'm making decent money. I love what I'm doing. I'm going to be flying out a lot. He made a deal with me. If you don't get in trouble, I don't know nothing. I never got in trouble. So I love Rockefeller.
Yeah, like you really put it on the line.
No, I don't think you understand.
Yeah.
I was on parole. Nobody knew this. I was on parole flying all over the world like it was okay.
Were you on parole when you went to Paris?
Yes, I was. Of course I was. My mom said they came to see you. I said, they coming from? My mom said, he's not mad. He just told you, is he okay? She said he's, my mom didn't know how to lie. She said, he's in Paris. I called them. I said, Mr. Cruz, I'm in Paris. You're in Paris, right? I heard. Are you okay? I said, yeah. He said, bring me back a shirt. I said, all right. And, you know, so.
This did you have his size?
Nah, I didn't buy that motherfucker shit. He was cool as shit. I bought him lunch. But my point is, it's not, my point is, I'm telling you, I put Rockefeller on the line. Not only that, I just love Jay-Z, Jordans. Waiting on line for him for Jordans. Shit that I'm a grown man doing this because I love them.
Why?
Why? That's a good and a tough question. Why? I wish I had a shot now. I could be honest with you why. Because, first of all, the shit Jay, everything Dame was saying was the truth. Everything Jay was saying was the truth. We drink. We dress nice. We got cars. You put your hands on us, we're going to retaliate. Ain't got to be shooting. We're going to fight you. We're going to punch you. And everything Jay said at that point was real. And I believed in that shit. And then, again, I was making $250 a week. From that to $1,000 a week to $2,000 a week, I was getting meetings with Dame. I said, Dame, they want a meeting with you. They're going to give me $3,000. I take the meeting. I don't even like those motherfuckers. Mm. I try to give Dame something. I don't want that shit. But I'm saying it would change my life. It wasn't only the money, man, because money don't make me. I don't have a lot of money now. I'm doing a lot better.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to say is that I loved Rockefeller. And the day that label closed down, I might have cried. I seen a couple people cry when it became Dame Dash Records.
But this was really family. This was family. These were brothers and sisters
Before Rockefeller sold a record, we used to hang out every day. Every day. We didn't miss a day.
Soul Food Sundays.
I was Jay House, Lenny Cook, talk shit. But everybody was rich by then, though. I'm talking about, forget that part, but I'm talking about.
Right, Malacone.
Malacone. We going to 5 half chickens, 4 plates of rice, eating, talking shit, then drinking Southern Comfort back in the day. I was the cheapest drink. We drink Southern Comfort. We do this. I remember Biggs never put gas in his car. Always, we used to push his Range Rover.
Yeah.
Biggs never had gas. Oh, excuse me, sorry. Biggs never had gas in his car. We used to always have to push it. Because he doesn't care. He used to forget. We have to push his car to the gas station. He's laughing.
It's a nice car.
While we're pushing it, we're laughing. And we're drunk and laughing. It's like, yo, Gary, we got no gas at Biggs. Are you, yo, this shit is heavy as hell. We pushing this shit. Me and him laughing and joking. Biggs, they probably to this day, Biggs probably don't have gas in his car. He never went to go to the gas station.
When you were in high school.
Yes.
And your life was the Upper West Side in Harlem.
Yes.
Could you even imagine what life was like beyond each river?
I didn't see none of this shit. We used to hang out every day. We used to play ball, talk shit. Pizzas were 50 cents.
What did your mom want you to do?
My mom just wanted. My mom always knew that I was going to be different. She always said that. She said, you got to be like your father. You got a big heart. You're going to be taken advantage of a lot until you stop, until you take a stand. She told me this shit. I remember when I was like, I have a friend. I'm going to name his name. He's not my friend. He's a fucking asshole. Honestly, I made this guy a millionaire. Other shit. My mom, he walked in my house at 13 years old. Always meant, listen to your mother. They know best. He's not good for you. I didn't listen to her. He used me till he could use me no more. Till I couldn't take it no more. I mean, like, bad. So Rockefeller was, I couldn't believe I'm in front of Nelly, yo, and these guys, Dame let them know. This, like, a lot of people thought I was Dame's security. Dame's be like, this is my man. He don't see this. He's with me. That's my boy. Biggs, that's my man. I had a big argument with P. Diddy. Did I tell you that story? We was in L.A. one time. Me, Dame, Biggs, a bunch of us. It was Nelly there, Method Man. I forgot somebody, another rapper. He passed Dame the champagne. Dame passed it to me. He said, I don't drink with the help. He grabbed the bottle of my hand. I said, fuck you. I ain't no fucking up. Dang, so yo, chill. Calmed it down. But I'm going to say why I respect P. Diddy. He remembered me. Remember Jay-Z threw R. Kelly off the tour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We was in 40-40 Club. He saw me. He grabbed me. He would not let me go all night long.
Puff.
He said, yo, I was dead wrong that night. I was out of line, man. I was besides myself, man. We drank all night long. And I couldn't even drink. No, I wanted to go home. He would not let me go. I said, he did. I can't drink no more. I'm drunk.
Did he outdrunk you?
Yo, I couldn't drink no more. No, I'm saying he just wouldn't let me go. I said, he had that strong. I said, Diddy, I cannot drink no more. But so he knew he made a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a tough motherfucker, too.
What do you remember about that night when the whole R. Kelly thing went down?
I remember Jay was like, oh, that's when I first met Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Jay did the show. You know, one thing about me, I put my weight around. I go to the stress room. They're not letting me in. I said, yo, I'm fucking Jay-Z's friend, man. Fuck y'all think this is. I'm blacking. Jay said, yo, they said somebody big face. Jay said, let him in. That's my man. Jay sitting on the couch holding his girl. They wasn't married yet. It was his girlfriend. I said, yo, Jay, man, yo, I said it. I love Jay. Fuck music. I'm not biased. I know music. I've never, ever heard somebody rap the way this dude raps, man. I don't give a fuck. I'm a music dude. I know. This dude has so many styles, and he don't write. It's ridiculous. Only one thing he did I ain't like to come back with Nas. It pissed me off. He was frustrated. He rapped on his emotions.
You're talking about
When he pissed Allen Iverson off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was too upset.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, super ugly.
He was
super upset.
He know he did wrong. He was in Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, I don't know if you know the seats, you sit on top of the seats.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sit in the seats.
Right,
we sit on top. We told him. I said, Jay said, I'm going to kill that motherfucker. Oh, yeah, you got the rap. No, I'm going to kill him, G. Where we from, our world, he said, dick sucking lips. That's very disrespectful. You're inviting a man to your penis.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't play that game where we from.
Right.
Jay was real upset.
The Nas lyric, right,
Jay was real upset. But like, real. See, the difference is, I'm going to be honest with you, Jay told the truth on his rhymes. Nas joked him. And Nas took a long time to make a comeback. A guy that talented would come out a record that great. It took Nas almost 3 months to make a comeback. So my point is, I just felt like, yo, when I say Rockefeller, y'all don't understand, man. I never thought the shit was going to end, man. Nori told me, this shit going to end one day. Girl. You got to take care of yourself. This rhyme, I'm going to take care of myself. I see it. I see the vision. I got Breeze with me. Hope you guys will help me. I got God in my life. And I got one or two people I know going to be there for me. People hate. Yo, people laughing. Like, you know how many Jews people don't like, y'all?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
You know. They think you'll make a mockery out of them. But you know what? Y'all don't give a fuck. Y'all doing what y'all like to do.
Yeah.
Only difference with me is y'all making some fucking money. I didn't make no money because I was stupid. I'm sorry. I was stupid.
When was the first time that you met hip-hop?
He was like 17. He used to be on 119th and 7th. Come hang out with us, with his brother. Little Bob, who got killed. Hang out with us every day. He used to ride a bike, literally, no seat.
Right.
Yeah, we just hang out every day.
Did you see it? Were you like, yo, this kid has something?
No, we didn't know yet. He just knew music. He's really a basketball junkie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He took me to go see LeBron James the first time when LeBron was like a junior in high school.
Whoa.
In Queens.
Yeah.
He said, gee, that's the next dude right there. Because remember, I was hip-hop's assistant when I first started.
Yeah.
He was the top A&R.
Yeah.
We used to go, oh, yo, hip-hop was crazy. I was so into working hard. I was so working hard. You know him. Yo, you working too hard, man. Yo, fuck, relax, man. I said, hey, man, we got, Gary, relax. We go to the airport. We got coach seats. He said, I don't do coach. He went, swiped his card, and we got first class seats.
Mm.
He said, we don't do those. So I'm like,
LA, right, we don't do coach, but we'll push a car. You
we'll
know?
Push a car, yeah. So I wake up in the morning. I'm like, yo, we got to go to the studio. He said, yo. I said, hip hop, I'm not here for this shit, yo. I used to go work. He's like, this motherfucker work hard, man. Hip hop was just like that. He was so laid back, man.
When's the first time you met any of the Diplomats?
Oh, well, I knew Cam from playing basketball.
You did?
He's a real good ball player.
Yeah.
This rap shit, I don't know where that came from. That shocked the shit. He was a real good ball player.
Yeah, him and Mace.
Yeah, well, I don't know Mace from ball. I know Mace was rapping.
Yeah.
But Cam was a real good ball player. And I met him like that. The next thing I know, this motherfucker can rap. I said, what the fuck? And then it got crazy. Ah, that Cam, another thing, man. I'm not stuck in the middle because Cam's my man, but Jay's my boy.
Yeah.
This shit was nasty. This tension.
But there was, okay, but it wasn't always tension, right?
Well, honestly, I never seen them disrespect each other in my face. I could be honest with you.
Right.
I was there when it had the big record, New York City.
Yeah, welcome to New York City.
I was in the studio for that day. I'm going to tell you that story. I'm in the studio that day. It's about 60 Diplomats. 60. It's me, Jay, and three people.
And all of Harlem.
Yeah, all of Harlem.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So I ain't naming his name because they tapped me on my leg. He said, yo, Cam about to kill Jay. He about to kill Jay. I said, yeah, all right. I said, that's not happening. So then I told Jay, you got it? G, you got something for this? Jay looked at me that look. Are you fucking serious? So then they started doing their thing. Juelz was being on the record, but they were getting so crazy, Juelz said, let me back down.
Yeah.
When I almost threw up, when Jay said, you know, only when you see on bass, I'm from left to right, I said, okay, Jay's locked in. He's locked in. And that's when, after the whole rap, Jay came and gave me a, he said, y'all killed it. I said, did you kill it? You destroyed the record. Next thing I know, these guys are beefing. I don't know where this shit came from. Dude, that shit, honestly, I don't know where this shit came from.
Right.
I think that's what started the tension.
And so did your relationship with the Diplomats change then too?
Well, I didn't have no problem. No, I see Juelz. We said hello to each other. Cam, always, that's my man, Cam.
Jimmy.
Jim was cool with me. Yeah. They always gave me pounds, all those dudes.
Yeah.
I did Jimmy's first beat for free. Boot, I did it for free.
Whoa.
And Jim, you rich now. You should throw me something for that too. Now you got some money. Got more than me. I'm telling in front of you. Throw something at me for that, man.
We had Maul.
Big's younger brother.
Big's youngest brother.
Big's little youngest brother.
On the podcast, and we asked him for a Big Face Gary story.
And he was telling us that there was some bowling party.
And I was actually recording. It was like, you know, we had the handheld recorders back then. And Big Face Gary and Kevin Hart got into a snap contest. I don't know who has this tape, but they need to find it.
Also, the difference in size of these two guys.
Right. It was like the funny, because if you know Big Face Gary, he's like a hood comedian. You know, for hours, he'll just snap on you, just keep going. Kevin Hart at this time, he wasn't the Kevin Hart he is now, but you know, that's when they were doing Paper Soldiers and, you know, movies like that.
Yep.
And they just went at it for about 15 minutes, just back and forth. And I'm standing like on the couch by the bowling lane with the camcorder, just... Every time somebody got a joke, I'm just back and forth with it. And Kev said, man, get that goddamn light out of my face. And they start flipping, man, because, you know, Gary was getting the best of him at that time. So I kept the light right in Kevin's face. Like, nah, man, you got to bounce back. Like, he killing you right now.
Yeah, well, Kevin's funny. He's obviously he's a comedian for life now. But there's a difference with joking in the streets and being on TV. I don't like being on TV. But if I look at you, I'm going to disrespect you. And I was going at it. I didn't go fuck who Kevin Hart was. Fuck Kevin Hart. He was like, yeah, he was trying, but he couldn't do it. Street snapping, and comedian, two different situations.
Right,
two different situations. He couldn't handle it, but that's my man Kev Hart. I knew he was gonna blow up. Yo, I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah,
yo, man, he's killing the game, man.
Were you there for Paid in Full?
Of course, Paid in Full. I was there for State Property. I seen everything, man.
Yeah.
I was there for everything. I just remember we was in Dame's big ass house in L.A. Kevin have no money, nothing. Dame was just dismantling him. You little bastard, fuck you. You ain't going to be shit. Kev, I know who's laughing now, right, bro? Who's laughing now, Kev? Yo, you the man. Yo, he destroyed Kev. Kev used to say, oh, yeah, good job, Kev. You said, I'm not getting extorted by nobody. He said, I'm telling.
Talk about the first time you met Kanye West.
Oh, I gotta start. Oh, that's so funny. I met Kanye West now. Nah, that's something I'm dying to see.
Yeah.
I wish you could find him for me. I say Kanye, man. He used to tell me, Gary, I'm a hell of a producer. Producing big records. Fuck this producer. I'm a rapper. I said, Kanye, you ain't no rapper. He rapped Jesus Walks for Jay-Z in Baseline on his knees. Jay said, get up, man. You're embarrassing yourself. I swear. Jay, you can say you ain't say it. I know you said it. I was there.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he broke his jaw in L.A. He did a video through the wire. Then they started seeing that. Then that. Biggs and Dame said, you out your fucking mind. And Kanye blew up from there. I used to tell Kanye, you're not a rapper. You're not a rapper. This kid blew the fuck up, man. Nah, that was my man. Good friend of him. We used to be in L.A. He ain't drink a lot, but I used to make him drink. When we used to be in L.A., he used to be doing beats. He started drinking. Oh, man. When he started rapping, I said, Kanye, I don't want to hear it no more. He raps for like hours. Just drunk as shit. I'm like, Kanye, he won't stop. That was my man. But damn, man, what's Kanye doing, man? If Kanye, I'm going to say it to you now. You're going to get real mad at me. I ain't mentioning no names. You was way better before, man. You got to get back to Kanye, man. The shit you spitting on me, I can't comprehend no more. The first 2-3 albums, you will have me going crazy. Now you got comfortable because you're rich. Get back to Kanye, man. Please. I can help you, man. I don't care about no more. I don't want to dime, but I can help you.
How about a DJ Clue story?
Oh, he the one who gave me the lyric for my movie, State Property 2. Dame said, yo, you got, I'm putting you in the movie. So I'm talking. He said, what you going to do? I said, I don't know. So I said, I said, yo, I'm 30 and on the streets. I can't be. Clue said, no, man. You got to say you big. You too. Say it with authority, Gary. I said, yo, Wink, I'm 30 and on the streets. I ain't never lose a fight. Remember my brother? I said, yeah. That's what my big like. Clue said, that's what I'm talking about. That's how I mean. But I knew Clue was going to make it big, though.
Yeah.
Because he's music.
Everybody picked on him.
Oh, he got picked on. Everybody picked. He got destroyed by Dame.
Can we just name some people and you just say your thoughts on them?
That.
Shari Bryant.
Oh, my baby. seen Shari when she's a baby. She used to be coming after school and working with us. She used to wear sneakers all the time, everything. Now this fucking girl's a guru. Big house in Jersey. I've seen her grow up. She's big.
Yeah. Yeah. Shaka Pilgrim.
Love her. She's just always who she is. She never combed her hair and didn't give a fuck. Laugh at her. She didn't care.
Emmanuel.
My homegirl. She's like a, she I like her look, but she should have been a man. the way she thinks, she don't give a fuck. She say what she feel, and that's it. She's a great girl, though.
Yeah. Wayno Clark.
Wayno. That's my, I raised him in the music business. I used to drive him crazy, but it worked. It paid off.
Beehive.
Good dude. Me and him had a fallout one time. We argued big time. We talked for like a couple months, but he's a good guy. Hard worker. He don't have his hands out. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z's cousin. Good guy.
When we did the Rockefeller celebration at Highline, was there any part of you that wanted to be on stage during that?
I wanted to, but I was nervous. I didn't. I told Breeze that I haven't been around that scene in so long. I was nervous. This is my first comeback. Like, I work out now. Now you're making me feel better about myself. I'm going to lose like about 20 more pounds so I can like look the part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like doing this right here. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of shy. I know. I'm not shy. Like I told Breeze, I could be in a set and if I don't know I'm being taped and I can have a ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I knew that at this, I had to do this. Mm-hmm. I was going to tell Breeze no because I was kind of scared. I could be honest with you because you guys are Jewish white guys. I thought you guys were going to try to make me look bad. I was nervous. I didn't want that situation.
Right. I mean, there's still a lot of interview left.
I don't care what y'all I mean, you know, now I don't be caring because I know y'all full of shit. Y'all all right. But what I'm saying is y'all full of shit. But I knew that being an A&R, like I used to call Biggs had a good ear. I got a good ear too, though.
Yeah.
But Biggs, if that ain't it, G, or that's it, or that ain't it. Like, Young Gun's whole album, he walked me through the whole album.
Well, what's the advice that he's giving you? Because you had said that he, like, helped you unlock the sort of secret to, like,
to your ear.
What a good beat is.
Well, he used to just tell me, well, first of all, I used to be on the hip-hop tutelage. And hip-hop was younger than me, but I don't believe in older gotta know everything. Certain things I could get him in, but music, he had an ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be, like, listening to him, like, why? See, I got an ear naturally, but there was just records that I didn't know why hip-hop picked them. And I said, yo, you picked that fucking record. You remember where I'm from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hip hop picked that beat. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Jay-Z spit in his ear, find a fucking beat. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear nothing.
Yeah.
Hip hop came the next maybe 5 hours. Here. And we said, you got it. Hip hop said, yeah. He wasn't bragging. He said, that's it.
Yeah.
Biggs just say you gotta feel the record. You gotta know the record. And it gotta make sense. When they talk, it makes sense. And that's nothing about me. It was garbage, and it's garbage. Well, I used to give Jay hell, but Jay don't spit to him as God. I said, that shit ain't it, Jay. That ain't it. Mm-hmm. Then he'd go harder and harder, then it'd be over. In the sessions I was very vibrant. I used to just go in the studio. If I like a beat, I give it. If they didn't like it, and sometimes it would come with the beat. I would just make sure that they spit in the right shit. Like, I'm telling you, I'm not the genius, but I know when it makes sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Beans, you ain't really have to say much of him. He's very talented. He just didn't. Beans should have been, I mean, like 80, 90 million in, because he had the talent, man.
Were you there for Mac Bitch?
No, I wasn't there for Mac Bitch. I took the Truth, the whole Truth album. Biggs, I wasn't working for them yet. Biggs would just keep bringing the records to the block. That's what Biggs would do. See, Biggs is smart. It's actually genius.
Yeah.
He go to the studio, bring it to the hood where no one gives a fuck, has no allegiance to nobody.
Yeah.
Yo, what you think about this shit here? Biggs would do it, and then we'd be like, oh my God, the Truth? When I heard the Truth, that's who this motherfucker is. They said Beanie Siegel from Philly. He ready, G. You like it? I said, I like it. That shit is ridiculous what he's saying. He would bring a record to the, what's that record? Who Shot You?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That shit woke Jay heard Who Shot You. Big said, you hear this shit? Jay couldn't believe that. He said, I got to step my game up, man. And Biggie looked up to Jay. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brooklyn's Finest. Jay did that verse in 10 minutes. It took Biggie 3 weeks to hand that record in. 3 weeks.
Mm.
He used to be nervous with Jay.
When was the first time you met Clark?
Oh, Clark crazy. I met Clark when he bought Jay. He bought Jay to dance. That's the best thing you're going to have. He says, this bet Clark would not stop saying it. He's the best ever. He still says it to this day.
Yeah.
He won't stop saying it either.
Now, what was Clark wearing?
Oh, sneakers?
Yeah. Nah.
Oh, he wears Nike Airs.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fucking junkie. Nah, that's my man, too. Yeah. Good guy. They used to pick on him a lot, too.
Really?
Yeah, because he expected a lot out of Clark when Rockefeller transformed. After Jay was foot, like when we transformed to like the Beanie Siegel stuff, and he didn't think Clark came through, which wasn't fair.
Mm.
Dane was under a lot of pressure, man, because he was just acting crazy to me.
Yeah.
He was acting crazy to me, man. Very talented, very smart, But I felt what he should have did was brought his friends to him. And so I'm going, instead of trying to be the Big Willie, I'm going through a lot. I'm about to lose the label. This blah blah. And just tell, you got to tell your friends the truth. Then right. we could tackle it a better way. But instead of, he was lashing out at people. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about this at the live podcast. Okay. But what's something that Dame doesn't get enough credit for?
Well, I know one thing he didn't get enough credit for. He got bamboozled on it, but that's because it was nasty, but he didn't deserve that. Dame built Rockaway. That was his shit. Jay was just a face. Dame was there every day. Him and Rod Dude, they put that shit together. And because Dame was hated so much, they bought Dame out for 30 mil, and Jay got a bunch of money, and they did what they did. I'm not knocking you, Jay. It was a business move. But Dame built Rockaway. And he didn't find Jay, but he did get Jay that deal. He needed a 50-50 venture that put Irv Gotti into a 50-50 venture. And this, that was the different type of thing. Now they're doing these 360 deals that don't make no sense.
Right.
Know what I mean? But Dame Rockaway, you got to give that to him.
So Rockefeller comes to an end.
Yes.
How do you hear about it?
I walk in the office. I'm not naming that people are crying. I'm like, why y'all crying? Dame said the label's over. Label's over. I walk in the office and say, Dame, what the fuck is on the label's over? He said, he just screamed, get the fuck out of my face, big face. He got me mad. We was at the tussle. Beans took me down to Philly for 5 days. We was about to fight downstairs. And after I ain't see Dame for 5 days after that, we ain't talk about it. I swear, all I can tell you is I walked in the office and everybody was crying. The girls are crying. It was devastating, man. No severance pay, nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
And what'd you think was the next step?
I ain't have a next step. I was devastated. That's the mistake I made. I thought Rockefeller would never end. That ain't happened to me no more. I learned. Y'all told me, I ain't trying to blow y'all up. Y'all told me, Gary, if you're getting, get what you got to get.
Yeah.
This game is serious.
Yeah.
You know? See, I'm going to make y'all laugh. I ain't Jewish, though. Y'all got opportunity. They love y'all in the world. Y'all run the world, man.
Well, depending on where you go.
No. Y'all, yeah. Y'all trying to sugarcoat that shit. Y'all run the world.
Someone talked to us about Dubai, and we were like, I don't think we're loved over there.
Yeah. Y'all run the world, man. I'm telling you, you don't want to hear it. You're going to be humble. Like, me personally, Breeze found me through her friend, my friend Tequaza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's going to sound crazy, but I'm saying, I'm not trying to be rude, but I got to be honest with you. I told myself I'd come back in this game, I would have put somebody down with me who knows what he's doing, and it got to be somebody who's going to be respected. And again, he's a nice guy. At first, I didn't really know him.
So yeah, he's a nice Jewish boy.
I give a fuck about him. But then when I seen he was Jewish,
and
he was honest, he asked about my daughter
on
several occasions.
Yeah.
I know he has some class.
Yeah.
And Jewish, and has a heart, and has some brains, you're gonna make some money.
He has a well-paying job. He's an accountant.
And you guys live in Upper West Side. You guys moved here when it was a lot. I moved to the Upper West Side when it was okay. You guys are doing pretty well yourselves too. So I don't hear shit.
We do okay. Obviously, three of us live together. Not that great.
You're gonna try to sugarcoat that shit. I just know, but seriously, like, I knew I needed somebody to help me this time.
So, all right. So let's talk about you now.
Okay.
Or actually, let's talk about the whole arc. You've always had a big personality.
Yes, that's just me. I don't know how that
You've
is.
Always been funny. You've always been gregarious. And like,
that's just who
I am. You've been friends with everybody.
Yeah, everybody loves me. I can't go nowhere and not say hello. I hate it sometimes, but I have people say hello to me. I don't know who they are, but I'm always going to say hello, though. That's who I am.
And you're authentic and you're you.
Yes, that's all I can be.
What can you do with that now?
Well, damn. I don't know. You might have to help.
You can do a lot.
The problem with me is my cousin told me that the other day. I keep putting people on a pedestal they don't deserve. They're not who I am. I'm so humble, but he's right. Every time I'm good to people, they fuck me. And I've learned that. But this time around, I don't know how to say it to y'all. Like, if I didn't like y'all, I wouldn't have came. I hope you know that.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Y'all, he breathes with me mad at me.
Yeah, I'm still confused as to, like, no, honestly, like, why, what made you come over the first time?
Because Breeze put, I wasn't going to come. Breeze kept pushing me. I need you. He said, Gary, these two Jewish guys. He throws Jewish in there because he knows how I feel.
Yeah.
He knows I respect y'all differently. Again, right. I love black people. I'm going to say it on the mic. I love everybody. But I've dealt with a Jewish guy named Scotty Ehrlich. He's a beer distributor. I met him. I've known people my whole life. When I met him, my life turned around. And it, not that he gave me money. He just... It came true because somebody told me, I had this Jew, a friend of mine worked for a Jewish guy for years. He said, if you're loyal to a Jew and you don't fucking steal from them, and you and him, and he knows you got something with you, they're going to help you. So I said to myself, I met y'all. I told us I didn't want to talk. I thought you guys were going to ask me questions I didn't want to answer. I didn't want to be blown up because I'm not doing that shit.
Right.
I wasn't going to do it. So Bree said, Gary, they're not going to do it. I thought Bree was setting me up. I was going to be so mad. So my point is, I felt you guys were genuine. And when you told me Nori came here, Nori don't fuck with everybody. He would have told me, Gary, don't fuck with them bastards. He would have told me, y'all ain't shit. But I didn't hear that. So honestly, what I could bring to the game is being straightforward who I am. I don't, people may not like a lot of it, but because I'm going to be forward. I know some stuff I said today wasn't bad, but I know everything I said today about Rockefeller was the truth. A little bit, y'all may not like, but y'all know I'm not fucking lying. It was the fucking truth. I'm saying it one more time. Dame, you're very, very intelligent, but when you was going through that shit you was going through, whatever it was, you should have talked to us. You know I did anything. I loved you. I did anything for you. Biggs, loved you. Jay, love you. Y'all put me in a position to make money, and my life turned around too. So I can't lie to y'all. I met a lot of good people, and I'm Big Face Gary. I'm Big Face through Bob, but when I got a music level, my personality went to another level. People love me. So what's happening to you? My personality. I love music. Me and Breeze is trying to put some a podcast gonna make people laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm asking y'all to help me. He said down the line y'all can help me, and I don't know. I'm just gonna be Gary, and hopefully it works.
Yeah. What would you tell a younger Gary?
A younger Gary right now. Don't love. You can love who you work for, but love yourself first. And nothing's forever. Nothing's forever. And save your fucking money, man.
And don't get out of bed for a 2 a.m. meeting.
Several times.
Yeah.
So, and when you get there, it's nothing but jokes.
Yeah.
Not even a serious meme. You left your girlfriend in the bed. And she was. And she told me.
Wait, did she like the jokes?
She was pissed. I came back. She was knocked out. What the fuck was it? Nothing. I used to lie to her.
No, it was nothing.
It was a big meeting. Just because she would be like, what? Yo, I'm serious, y'all. He used to call meetings. I'm thinking something's wrong. We all there. What's up? What's wrong, Dave? I missed y'all. He's just joking. Big, he had a nice apartment down called the Black Door. It was real nice. This shit is 30 times the size of your apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, you tell us that we have this beautiful apartment.
It's a nice apartment.
It's fine.
So we're talking shit, you know, but love yourself first, save your money. I don't know if the point system allows. I'm out thinking, do they still get points on an album? Get your points on your album if you produce A&R on an album. And save and do something with your money. Like Irv Gotti, I respect him. He hasn't been right. He has about 13 houses. Irv Gotti has no money problems. Because when he had the money, he made it work.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make your money work, man. That's what I brought Breeze in, because Breeze is Jewish and he's an accountant. When I get some real money, he's going to make sure I'm okay.
Yeah, he's going to get you a Jewish lawyer.
That's right.
Then you're going to be real good.
Yeah, yeah.
So people are going to wonder what you've been up to in the past, ever since The Rock broke up. And so, did you ever try and get back into music? Did you ever?
Man, I was struggling, man. I tried. People were giving me rink. Jay offered me a job, but it didn't happen. He promised me a job. I did the album with Beans. Had this album after Feeling Air. It finished. That's when Jay-Z was president of Rockefeller. He didn't give me a job.
President of Def Jam.
Def Jam.
Yeah.
I had my daughter. My daughter was born in 06. Yo, when I say I was struggling, man, I was struggling. Damn near getting evicted, man. And by the way of God, I figured it out. You know, I just started my own business, and it was hard. And I just fought, you know. And I like what I'm doing, kind of, because I don't have to answer to nobody at all. I do what I want when I want, but I get it done. I drive vans. I got my own business. If I don't feel like driving, somebody do it for me. I'm doing okay. And the thing about me, I'm different. I don't need the fame. I'm going to get it because I'm Gary. If I'm happy, I'm happy. And my daughter's fine, my daughter's fine. I don't know. Is fame big to y'all?
No. No.
It's natural. You guys are funny. I don't know. I seen one that made me laugh. I guess I'm not. You had the girl vagina, and I think you guys were walking with Biggie. What's just one of the biggest ones you did? I love this shit. Y'all in Houston?
That was with Bun.
It looked like y'all was drinking. I don't get it. Everybody, my friends, said you're drinking. You gotta, to be that stupid. How did you get into that mode? Y'all just said fuck.
You know, we just think different. I don't know. It's just that's what it is. Thank you very much.
To me, I don't think I'll do that. Y'all were walking down.
Watch us.
the girl had the vagina. Hair coming out.
Yeah. By the way, you opened it up and you were like, "Yeah, you were walking with that girl with the vagina," and I was just like, "Oh no!"
I know. I don't know which video.
Yeah. guys are
That
crazy.
Wasn't me.
When he first told me you guys are from my hood, I couldn't believe
yeah.
that, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw you. We don't have laundry in our building, and I was walking to the laundromat, and I walked past you like probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago. But you were with
me?
Yeah, but you were with somebody, and so I was like, I didn't know.
A guy or a girl?
Guy.
Oh, my big guy?
I don't remember.
Was it your security?
No, you should have stopped me, man. I'm normal, man. You know, I'm normal, man. But I'm just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity.
No.
I took a 12-year break, man. I didn't know if it was the right thing when I said, you know. I wasn't nervous, though, today at all. I just said, okay, I'm going to, if they make a mockery out of me, I curse them out after.
And then we don't put up the video,
and
the episode.
And I drink and leave it alone, you know.
Yeah. We had this whole Rockefeller show at Highline. We're personal friends with people like Shari and Hip Hop and Lenny and everybody. And we're two kids from Westchester, 30 minutes north of here, who love Rockefeller Records. Like, the music, the clothing, the slang, the attitude.
The story.
The story means so much to us. And
yes.
And who are we? We're just, like, we're just fans. You were part of it, and you were just always a name to us. You were always a figure to us that we didn't know. And we're so appreciative that you came and were that puzzle piece that is another, like, link in the chain that rounds out this story. It's so important to us. I think it's so important to the audience. And I think it's, honestly, your story is very important to the history of Rockefeller Records. So thank you for being here.
And I thank you for having me, man. You know, and it's like Breeza said something. It was therapy, because I've been holding this shit in for years, man. And again, if I said something offensive, it wasn't offensive. I was trying to tell you how I feel. And Jay, I ain't seen you in years. I respect the shit out of you. I respect your raps, so you know how me and you get down. You coming to my fucking podcast, yo. I don't care if you got your Bentley, your wife, your kids, whatever you want to do. You gonna sit, you drink Patron, we gonna talk 40 minutes of hell. We gonna talk a lot of shit, man. Thanks for having me, guys. Love you guys.
Thanks so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real Jeff. If people want to find out more about us, if people want to find out more about this podcast, if people want to show up at our show on November 2nd in Los Angeles, California, where can they go?
You can go to the Bootleg Theater in Los Angeles, but more importantly, you can buy your tickets now at itsthereal.com. Our tickets are available there. You can listen to all of our podcasts, new and old, at soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. You can also search on iTunes for A Waste of Time with It's the Real. It's the Real is one word, no apostrophes, no spaces. soundcloud.com/itsthereal for our music. You can also find that on Spotify, Apple Music, and all streaming services.
Tidal and Google Play, shout out to them.
You can always find us online at Twitter at It's the Real. Facebook at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real. We are also on Snapchat at It's The Real, even though, honestly, you're not going to find much content from us there. If you want to go find that Rockefeller Live podcast, you can go to youtube.com/itsthereal. You can also find our DJ Semtex interview on there as well.
Jeff, you know this podcast isn't going anywhere. It's not going to grow unless we tell people to tell other people to tell other people about this very here podcast and music videos and live performances. So, who, Jeff, would you like to tell about this little thing we call It's The Real?
I want to tell Andrew Barber, some guy named Ty, and Ernest Wilkins, all from Chicago, some of them from Fake Shore Drive and others from other places. I want to tell them that I see them and I appreciate them for everything they've done and everything that they continue to do, even after 10 years of killing it in this game. Shout out to Andrew Barber especially.
Yeah, shout out to Fake Shore Drive celebrating 10 years. Not a small accomplishment. Jeff, I would like to shout out a few people who jump in our Instagram live, and I'm talking about Jana Allday. I'm talking about Cindy and Brett McKinnon. McKinnon? McKinnon.
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 Brent McKinnon.
Brent McKinnon.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brent McKinnon and Jana and Cindy, and we appreciate you guys jumping in there, being active and engaged, and telling everybody that we're coming to Los Angeles on November 2nd to the Bootleg Theater. Go get your tickets. It's The Real, live in Los Angeles. Guys, spread the word. Let people know. Let's keep the momentum going, the sellout streak alive. Let's have a huge welcome for It's The Real in Los Angeles on November 2nd. We're really looking forward to it. We'll see you then. Not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys next week.